Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Dalet, and we are holding on daf Yud Gimel, but we're just right there at the bottom, at the beginning of the Shmona Asar Dava. So again, remember that the way I preferred to understand it was Aliba the Rambam. Put down that phone, Ari. No moments for phones. So the idea was that according to the Rambam, the Yudches Dover of Gozru do not include the cases that we had previously. Those cases were part of another 18 things where actually we'll see they all agreed upon, and that starts from the first Mishnah, which was the discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. We have exactly 18 things mentioned in the Mishnayos that were Gezeiros Derabbanan, and besides that, there were Yudches Dover where over there Beit Hillel was outvoted. Now, before we get into these 18 things, and obviously there will be a different count according to the Rambam than there is according to Rashi, we'll have to say that some things are two together according to Rashi, because in the Rambam we get exactly 18 following the Gemara over here. Let me just give a little bit of a background over here, that the first list of these is taken from a Mishnah in Masechet Zavim, and all of these takonas have to do with playing around with the concept of Rishon, Sheni, and the way in which they're able to be Metame. So remember that normally the rule is very simple. Only an Av Hatuma can be Metame Kalim. Please, in the Beis HaMedrash, the old men that are sitting and eating Bishas the Shir should please wait until after tea time. Thank you. Or else Well, I don't think he's getting this, but we can always block the video. Fine. So in that case, what we have normally is an avatuma is metame kelim. A kli that would be metame something else, let's say it became a rishon, then that rishon would make the next thing a sheni, and that sheni cannot be metame, obviously kelim, because even a rishon can't be metame kelim. That sheni can actually not be metame anything as far as the deraisa is concerned, but it can pasel. And pasel means to make something affected by truma with tuma without its being tame itself. So in other words, there will be no detection of tuma on a tuma Geiger counter. You will not be able to detect tuma in something that's pasel. You'll only be able to detect tuma because of emission of tuma particles of something which is tame. Now chulin cannot become tame at all from a beyond a sheni, and therefore it makes absolutely no difference to chulin. But truma can become pasul, because remember, truma has to be roy to eat. There's no such concept by chulin. When truma becomes pasul, it will take that pasul status even from a sheni betuma. And the din is by kodesh, it will take that pasul status even from a shlishi, and therefore will be the equivalent of a pasul as a revi. Now that would be the dinim as they're meant to be. However, because of various circumstances, each of which we will discuss in situ, there were changes that were made by the Rabbanan because of gezeras, in which it turns out very strangely that there are sometimes shenis that can make rishons, it's like, what? And there's sometimes foodstuffs, mashkin particularly, that can be batami kalim, which is an outrageous impossibility as far as the Torah is concerned, because a kli anyway would only be mitame from an avatuma. And not only that, but we're going to find out that there's also a concept of being mitame an odam by eating something or drinking something, which is totally ridiculous, because that is, of course, I mean, it's very difficult to be mitame an odam. You can only be mitame an odam from an avatuma as well. And there's one additional crazy thing, and that crazy thing is something that we've gotten used to and maybe don't realize how insane it is, and that is that hands can become tummy. Now, I mean, there's no such concept, obviously, in the Torah, because the issue in the Torah is either you are tummy, you are tar. If you're tummy, then every part of your body is tummy. If you're tar, then every part of your body is tar. So the concept of yadayim itself, to isolate yadayim, even though there are remuzim to it, that yadav lo shataf b'mayim, and so on, those are remuzim. And Chazal turned this into actual halakhas here in the Yudches Dvarim. Now, as I said, even though the Yudches Dvarim have a bad reputation, in reality, they are extremely simple. And literally, I mean, it's very easy for a fifth grader to understand this without the slightest kinds of difficulty, once you understand the normal Seder of Tumah. So let's start. We start with the Mishnah in Zovim, the Tanan. Now, as it turns out, that's a mistake to start with that Mishnah, because the reason that it's a mistake is because that Mishnah doesn't have any interest in teaching about the Yud Ches Davar. The only thing that that Mishnah is interested in teaching is all of the things that Pasul Truma. Now, we took for granted all of the things that Pasul Truma are Gezeiras Derabanan, but that's not true. And because of that, we get a little confused in this list of 10 things in that Mishnah, because they're not all part of the Yud Ches Davar, as we're going to see. Some of them are D'oraisa. So let's start from the beginning. Okay. First of all, the strangest thing is that a person who eats food that is a Rishon, that person becomes a Sheni. And if he touches Truma, he will make that Truma Pasul. That's crazy. So that is a complete off-the-wall kind of Gezeira, and we're going to have to figure out what that is. Gezeira number two. As it turns out, this is really true, that they are all Yud Ches Davar so far. Someone who eats Ochel Sheni, that person also becomes Tomei, and he becomes Tomei as a Sheni. And he, therefore, passes Truma. Remember that Truma will accept not Tuma from a Sheni, but will become Pasul by contact with a Sheni. Now, another crazy thing, this is totally crazy, somebody who takes a bath. If he takes a bath, he will become Tomei. So, Abba Rosha Verubo B'mayim Shuvim, what defines a bath as opposed to a mikveh? That the water was in a kli. The reason for this gezeira, as we will see, is because people, usually when you get out of a mikveh, the mikveh is absolutely filthy, and therefore you need to wash yourself off. No normal person wants to go to the mikveh and then get dressed and go out of the mikveh. You got to be crazy. So because of that, people would actually wash themselves after the mikveh. What a thought. But in doing so, they ultimately became enamored of more of the bath than they were of the mikveh, for obvious reasons. And Chazal were afraid that the mikveh would fall out of use completely, and people would figure it's really the bath that does the job. How does that filthy mikveh help? And they'd end up not going to the mikveh, and they would use just the bath. So because of that, they were gozer, that if you go to a bath after going to the mikveh, that then you will become Tomei to be Pasul Truma, only for that. Obviously, that's not a very high level of Tuma and is irrelevant, Bizman Hazeh. But the point is that if the person was around Truma, he'd have to be careful not to touch it. The fifth Gezeira is Tahar Shenafla Rosho Verubo Shlosha Lugin Mayim Sheuvim. Now, this, as opposed to Gezeira number four, which was taking a bath, is taking a shower. Taking a shower is worse than taking a bath. And the reason that is true is because most mikvahs don't have baths. They have showers. And therefore, it's far more likely that people will get confused by a shower after a mikvah than they would about a bath after a mikvah, which is not usually what they will do. Because of that, we were certainly going to include showers in the takana of baths. But because if a person would take a shower on a normal weekday when he did not go to the mikvah, if we would allow him to remain tahar, he would say, well if a shower is not metame me, why is a shower after a mikveh metame me? And he would never accept the gezeira. So because of that, we had to make a gezeira that showers are metame at any time. And therefore, even if he's completely tahar, the normal shear of a shower is 3 lugin of mayim. Less than that, it's difficult to have a full shower. And because of that, we ended up being metakein the whole thing. Now we've got a takana that we saw earlier, and that is a sefer. So a sefer Torah or any one of the Chof Dalet Sforim that comes in contact with Truma will be Pasul the Truma. And you remember the reason for that. We spoke about it earlier. That's because of rats and mice that might come to damage the sefer, because people would store Truma, which they thought was Kodesh, next to a sefer Torah, which they think is Kodesh. So in their minds, all Kodesh is Kodesh, you know. And the seventh one is Yadayim. Now, Yadayim is something that we are becoming very, very aware of during these interesting times in which people were used to make fun of the concept of Yadayim. The concept of Yadayim is from the Makor. It's called Yadayim Askaniotem. You never realize what you touch with your hands. And after you touch all kinds of filthy things, as Rashi says, you touch your face, you touch your nose, you touch your food, and you contaminate everything around you. Therefore, chazal remitakein, clean hands. And since the thing where we're most makbid about filth, where even if you are a slob and you don't care, but if you're dealing with truma, we will not allow you to touch truma, you slob. And therefore, in order to make sure that you don't get near to truma if you insist on being a slob, we said that your hands, if unwashed, are going to be metame truma. So pasul truma, I should say, not metame truma. Remember, there's a big difference between the two, but for all intents and purposes, they pasul truma. It's because of that gezeira that ultimately, even bizman hazeh, in order to retain an awareness of the importance of that issue, we were gozer in one place that you should wash your hands, which is the main achila, which is for bread. And at least that way, the idea of how important clean hands are, and the idea, therefore, of being shomer, any type of negiya, the truma would remain part of our consciousness. God only knows how many Jewish lives have been saved during the centuries by this. On the other hand, of course, how many Jewish lives were lost, because the Goyim, of course, ascribed the survival of Jews during plagues, not to netilas yadayim and cleanliness, but rather to kishuf, of course. And so I don't know if it evened out, but I would imagine it saved more lives than it lost. Okay, so this would mean the moment that you lose track of your hands by daydreaming, like Zuzel's currently is, so the moment that you lose track of your hands, you automatically cannot touch truma. You have to start all over again and wash them. But I was just sitting there daydreaming. Yeah, but you have no idea what you were touching while you were daydreaming. Okay, so that's called hesach hadas, and that returns your hands to a status of stam yadayim, which means they are not clean. Number eight is wrong. Number eight is perfectly right for the Mishnah in Zavim, because over there we're just coming to tell you all the things that make Trum apostle. And the din is that a Tful Yom, somebody who went to the mikvah on that day and is before sunset, who remains in a special state that's called a Tful Yom will also pasul Truma to make it the equivalent of a Shlishi. And that's the Araisa, therefore it can't possibly be part of the Yud Ches Dover. So this may be number eight in the Mishnah of Zavim, but it sure isn't number eight in the list that we're looking for. Number nine in the Mishnah of Zavim, which is number eight in the Takanas, are Ochlin or Ketlin, Shenitma'u B'mashkin. Now this is a crazy kind of situation. This is number nine and number 10. Ochlin that touched Mashkim Tmeim, and Kalim that touched Mashkim Tmeim. Now this is not, the number 10 is absolutely insane, right? Because by definition, Ochlin or Mashkin cannot be an Avatuma. There's only one case where we could say that something that is a liquid is going to be an Avatuma, and that would be a liquid which is a Mayan Azov. So let's say Azov urinates on something. So then you could have Mashkin that are actually an Avatuma, right? Or you have the Kohen Gadol holding a coffee cup in order to throw through his computer screen. The things in that coffee cup also generally could cause truma to become tameh, which means I better take a drink. Thank you, Barnea. Okay, so because of that, obviously we're going to have to come up with a really good explanation of how Mashkin could possibly be metameh a keli. And the other question, what is number nine? Because actually food can become tameh from mashkin. So why are we counting that as part of the Yud Ches Dover? That we're going to discuss in a moment. Okay, we started now with one halach, and that is somebody who eats eats food that is a rishon, and somebody that eats food that is a sheni. These people both become a sheni. Now, it turns out that that's really a machlokas. Mantana. So who is the Tana of the Mishnah that says ochel rishon and an ochel sheni? Both of them will only pasul truma, and they will not be metame truma, t'muya lo metamina, which means by definition that they are treated as a sheni bituma and not as a rishon. So whether you ate rishon or sheni, it makes no difference. You're always going to only cause a psul of the truma and not tuma on the truma. Because if you were eating a rishon, becoming a rishon, then you would actually make the truma a sheni, not make it simply a posel. And therefore, if that truma touched other truma, it would make it posel. That, says Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, is Rabbi Yoshua. And here is the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua in Maseches Tyrus. It's not. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, somebody who eats an ochel, that is tomei tumas rishon, he becomes a rishon. Somebody who eats an ochel, which is a sheni, he becomes a sheni. Somebody who eats an ochel shlishi, he becomes the equivalent of a shlishi. What is the meaning of a shlishi? Since a shlishi is not matami anything, the meaning of a shlishi is that it can make a revi b'kodesh. So when it comes to kodesh, that revi b'kodesh is the equivalent of a shlishi b'truma, which means that it's kodesh, which is posel, but not tummy, will not show up in a truma counter that counts emitted truma particles. Okay. But Rabbi Yoshua, now that's very different from our Mishnah. Obviously, it's not going like Rabbi Eliezer, because I mean, over here it says that there's a difference between the Rishon Sheni v'Shlishi. We don't have the Chalal, that idea that there should be any difference. Rabbi Yoshua says they're both the same, they're Pasur Truma. And that's Rabbi Yoshua. Ochel Ochel Rishon or Ochel Sheni becomes himself a Sheni. If he eats Eichlin, which is a Shlishi, then he becomes a sheni, but he only becomes a sheni legabe kodesh, because kodesh is more chomor, and we consider something which is tohar for truma is still tamei for kodesh, but ain't sheni letruma. He does not become a sheni as far as making truma posel is concerned. Now, the reason for this is, and that's why we're throwing in these words, is what do we mean when we say a shlishi, that he becomes a sheni? It's talking about chulin shenaso al tairas truma. So let's make that clear for one moment. Remember that chulin, there is no concept of any tuma on chulin beyond the level of a sheni. There's no concept of posel, obviously, because it's never usher to eat chulin, but there's no tuma until beyond level two. All you have is tuma up to level two. So now, if somebody has is a kohen and he wants to be makbid to get used to eating everything in his house as if it were truma, what he does is he's meyached all of his food to be the equivalent of truma. That's called chulin shenasu altaras hakodesh, to altaras truma, sorry. And because of that, we're machmer on that chulin to give it the dinim of kabbalas tuma of truma. However, let us remember that anything that is truma oriented is for a kohen who is eating kachim considered to be tame. There are all types of gezeras that affect the level of our consciousness. Remember that truma, I just have to mention this for one second, you understand why any of this makes sense. Remember that the entire Seder of Tyrus is called Das, Chochma Vadas. Tuma is itself a function of consciousness. It is not something that is detectable physically. And because of that, the entire Seder is a matter of consciousness and das. The different levels of awareness that are necessary to maintain a state of tahara versus a state of tuma are levels of human consciousness. They're not physical. Now, because of that, we have a series of special gezeiras that have to do with the idea of consciousness. The loss of consciousness, even for a moment, when it comes to Hekdesh, which is called Hesech Hadas, which would normally only be Metami Yadayim, for Hekdesh causes actual Tuma. This is a whole sugya that we'll have in Chagiga, Bezrat Hashem. Now, because of this, Chazal were mitaked, that anybody who is unaware of the ideas, not unaware in terms of knowing, but unaware in terms of aware, is not conscious. He doesn't mind eating his chulin betuma. Such a person is ipso facto considered to be, even his clothes are considered to be an avatuma to someone who is conscious of the importance of eating betaira, because he has absolutely no awareness. Maybe his wife, who's Anita, sat down on the his talus or whatever, and made it an avatuma. I mean, he has no awareness. So because of that, we made an overall gezeira that he is considered to be the equivalent of an avatuma when it comes to the other things, truma or kodesh. Somebody who is conscious on the level of eating truma is considered to be completely unaware on the level of eating kodesh. And therefore, if anything which is tahar vis-a-vis truma touches kodesh, it's considered to be tameh because it was unaware, and so on. Now, since we're talking about chulin shenasu al taras truma only, because of that, when it comes to kodesh, we're going to have to treat it as if it was tameh. And therefore, even if the guy was, he ate shlishi, he would not become a sheni for truma, but because he was eating chulin shenasu al taras truma. Otherwise, there couldn't be eating a shlishi. Where would you get a shlishi from? But when it comes to kodesh, then he would be able to be mitame kodesh. Why? Because the very food that he was eating on the level of truma is considered to be tame when it comes to kodesh. That's why we throw in this last little piece. Okay. So now we know we're going only al libe the Rebbe Yeshua and not al libe the Rebbe Eliezer. Now, what is the reason for all of these weird dinim? So now the Gemara is going to go through, these are the first 9 of the 18 things. We're going to go through the reasoning of the first 9. So somebody who eats ochel risha or somebody who eats ochel sheni, why is there such a gezeira? Answers the Gemara, because look, suppose a guy is a kohen and he's got some truma wine and he does not have any truma to eat. Okay, so he's going to be eating chulin. So he eats food that is tamei and he's just ate a sandwich. He swallows his sandwich and he takes a sip of wine. Now, when he swallows his sandwich, he still has a bit of food in his mouth. As a matter of fact, he may be in the middle of chewing his sandwich. Then he feels he needs to moisten it a little bit, so he takes a little bit of the wine. But when he takes the wine and he's shakel mashke the truma and he puts it into his mouth, he then is over on mishmeret trumotai because he passes the truma instantly, because it's very common to take a sip of liquid while you're eating. So therefore, if you are eating something which is tameh, you will make sure that there will be no kosher truma wine anywhere nearby. The next one was somebody who drinks wine which is tameh. Now over here, what's the reason for the gezeira? Because it could be the other way. Maybe you're drinking chulin wine which is tameh, and you have a piece of bread which is truma, and you put the bread in your mouth while you still have the drink, and which is the same thing in the opposite direction, says the Gemara. Okay, so it's the same thing. I mean, why did it have to be 3 separate gezeras? I don't understand. I mean, you should have just said either mashkin or arklin. Why were there a separate step to make mashkin mal detema? Answers the Gemara, because I would have thought, as was the original case, somebody who's eating and takes a sip of liquid is common. Somebody who's drinking and takes a piece of cookie in his mouth is not common. You first finish your drink. That even in that case, we made a gezeira. But it's a separate gezeira, and these were one step after the other. The next case was somebody that went into a bath after going to the mikvah. Why did the Rabbana make that gezeira? Says Rav Bibi Omer Rav Asi, because it used to be, before they made the nice pretty mikvahs they have today, the only mikvahs that were available were mikvahs that were absolutely filthy. They were this in a cave. You'll often have a place where water gathers from all, and it stays there throughout the summer. So they would use those types of tefillas, and they really started to stink after a while. This was the way the Ari's mikveh used to be. It was an absolute challenge to get yourself into that Arizal's mikveh. You know, of course, then come along everybody to ruin it, to make it a nice, pretty mikveh. You might as well go to Borough Park. But anyway, so the people, after going into this filthy water, they used to take a shower. So you know, Nimalayim Shuvim, to clear off the filth. They used to start believing in the shower, that they needed a shower. Gozra Layim Tuma. I understand. What do you mean they needed a shower? What's wrong with that? They did need a shower. What are you trying to stop them from showering? What do you mean by keva? No, says Abaya, they used to say It's not the mikveh that makes somebody Torah all by itself. It's the mikveh with the shower. Elu ve'elu mitaren. Says Rava to Abayi Stan. So what do you care? Let them believe whatever the heck they want. As long as they go to the mikveh, they take a shower. What's the difference if they think the shower is absolutely necessary for their Torah, or they think the shower is there to clean themselves off? It doesn't make any difference. They're still going to the mikveh, aren't they? Ka'katavli ba'anach. Elo amar Rava. The real issue, therefore, says Rava, is that people gradually came to the desired conclusion that the filthy water is not necessary, only the clean water is necessary. So they said, lo elo mitarin, elo elo mitarin. Because of that, we had to aser, if they, not aser, but make them tame, if they didn't, if they would, went into the bath. And then why did we say the next one? That if he takes a shower even when he's tahor, I mean, why would that be? The shlosha lugim mayim shuvim. My time of gazabir rabbanu tum. If he never went to the mikvah, that's because the iloha lo kaimaha. We would never have gotten away with people accepting a gezerah that made them tame only if they took a shower at the mikvah. That's crazy, they would say. So because of that, we had to drop that one. Okay. So we made a normal gezerah, anybody, let's take a shower as tummy. Then what's the reason for this next weird gezerah that is sefer Torah or any of the sephorim that touch truma, they make it tummy? My time of gozubei rabbanan tumah, amr ben shasha, because it used to be that they would be matzniya ochlin of truma right next to a sefer Torah, because, you know, people say, well, hi kadesh and hi kadesh, let's put all the kadesh together. Now, it became quite clear after time that given the chutzut chutzut they pseida, the mice would be eating up the sifri Torah and nibbling on them. Because of that, gozer bei tuma, rabbanon were gozer tuma on svarim, and that way people would keep it very far away from the truma, because then the truma would become tame. And then the next gezerah was yadayim. And why are yadayim tame? Because yadayim are askaniotain, they are always moving around, touching things that are filthy, and that you don't even realize it. And because of that, we wanted you to always be washing your hands. And at the moment that you stop concentrating on what you're doing with your hands. So because of that, they said, if you touch truma, and truma is, we want to protect from filth, and it's a part of the din of mishmeret trumotai, and people wouldn't eat the truma if it's touched by some slob. So because of that, they made a gezerah that it will be, it will actually cause a psul on the truma. Now, the truth is that there was another gezerah about that truma, because in the end, af hayadayim haba'ot machmat sefer poslot et ha-truma. Forget about the sefer touching it, but it actually turns out that if the yadayim that touched a sefer is going to touch truma, even those yadayim, although this was not part of the Yudchas Dvorim, but in the end, there were gozer even on the adayim that touched the sefer. So it's not just if the sefer itself. And the reason for that is why? That's Mishum the Rabbi Parnach. Rabbi Parnach quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that anybody who touches a sefer Torah while it doesn't have any cover on it, so the sefer Torah is arum, which means that he's touching the parchment of the actual sefer Torah without a towel or without a mitpachat or without a covering, then that person will be buried without any coverings also. Meaning that he won't have tachrichin? Ah, that's crazy. Come on. Arom salkadaitach? I mean, you don't mean that, do you? No, says Ribbis. I mean arom in the way it was originally used, you know? Ki arom anochi min ha-mitzvot. It means he won't have any mitzvot. Won't have any mitzvahs. I mean, let's not exaggerate. Maybe because one time a guy touches a piece of parchment of a sefer Torah, he's not going to have any mitzvahs. You don't believe that. I mean, aron below ta mitzvah, whatever the person was doing, he was holding the Sefer Torah in order to learn the parsha. Shnayim mikra ve'echa targum, right? He won't have that mitzvah because of the way that he was mezalzel in the Sefer Torah to touch it directly with his hands. Okay, that's what it means. Anyway, but which gezerah came first? The gezerah that we have stam yadayim of the yudches dovar, did that come first? Or did the gezerah of yadayim that touch the sefer Torah? I mean, if you're going to tell me that all hands are metame, even if they didn't touch a sefer, why would we make a special gezerah of hands that touch the sefer? Any hands would be tame. Now, the obvious answer to that is that any hands are tameh only if you had hesach hadas. In other words, suppose you just washed your hands. You go and wash your hands, and then you touch a sefer Torah, and then you touch truma. Now, obviously, if you didn't have the second gezerah, since you just washed your hands and were never meisiach das, so there would be no problem in touching truma. So there still is definitely meaning in making the second gezerah after you have the gezerah stam yadayim, making the second gezerah yadayim that touched the sefer Torah. So the Rishonim explain that the situation in which you just washed your hands and happened to have touched the sefer Torah is so uncommon that we don't make gezerahs on uncommon things. So therefore, it must be that the gezerah of sefer, yadayim that touched the sefer, are a leftover from a time before there was a gezerah on stam yadayim. And therefore, ach goes a bereisha. First, they made the gezerah that yadayim that touched the sefer will be matpasel truma. And then they were gozer on all yadayim that you weren't aware of. So, okay. Then we have the next case. Tful yom. Tful yom? What the heck does that have to do with the Yud Chesed Omer? Tful yom is the Araisa. I mean, it says Beferish in the Pasuk. Bo HaShemesh V'Taher. After the sun sets, he's tar, meaning that from, and then the Adz Yochal Men HaKodshim. How can you tell me that I needed a Gezerah for that? No, no. X that. That wasn't part of the Yud Chesed Omer. I mean, it's certainly part of Meir Simcha, what happened to Elvis? This is ridiculous. Now you're a comedian? So with a Yud Ches Dovar are actually not including all 10 of the cases that we have in Zavim. But it certainly fits perfectly well in the mission over there. Apostles Truma, that's fine. Okay, so don't count Tvul Yom in your list of the Yud Ches Dovar. Okay, the next thing that we had was Ochlin that became Tameh with mashkim. Now that's problematic because midiraisa ochlin can definitely become tame from mashkim. So what type of mashkim are we talking about? Are we talking about mashkim that became tame because they touched a dead sheretz and they became therefore a rishon natuma? That's not a gezerah, that's a diraita. It says beferish v'chol mashkeh asher yishateh yitma, and we learn out from there, at least a little bit of Rabbi Akiva, that yitma means it can yitame, it can be metame other things. So if that mashke can be metame ochlin, then obviously I don't need the gezerah. Ah, no, what we're talking about over here is what you would never have believed. We're talking about building one gezerah of the Yud Ches Dovar on another gezerah of the Yud Ches Dovar. So in other words, once we made a gezerah that stam yadayim are considered to be tameh if you didn't wash them. So now if somebody uses his dirty hands to touch any type of mashkim, those mashkim can now make a food tameh. Whoa, that's crazy, because the mashkin aboy machmas yadayim themselves should not really be mekabel tumah if they're chulin, because the sheni is not metame anything in chulin. So in other words, we're building one gezerah on another gezerah. First of all, we're saying that the hands are tame when they aren't. Secondly, we're saying that something which is impossible to be metame with a sheni, namely mashkim of chulin, are tame, even from a shlishi, basically. In other words, even from someone who's a sheni, they become not a shlishi, but they become a rishon, and then that rishon can go back and be metame ochlin to make the ochlin a sheni. Whoa, where do we get come up with that? It's a gezerah mishum mashkin abayim machmat sheretz. Since we do have a case where mashkin are metame ochlin, where they touched an avatuma, so because of that, we made a gezerah. And we only make this gezerah on mashkin, and this is another one of the terminology terms that you should be aware of. Mashkim are alulim lekabel tuma. Alulim lekabel tuma means that they are very, very vulnerable to tuma, because anything which is a foodstuff will not be mekabel tuma unless it first came into contact with one of the shiva mashkin. But mashkin themselves are very alul lekabel tuma. They require no previous hechsher. There's nothing that needs to be done to them to make them roi lekabel tuma. And therefore, we are gozer, that since mashkim are often tome, if they would come into contact with the sheretz, so we make that number 8. Okay, number 9 was the crazy case that mashkin can even be metame kalim. And remember, in order to make sure that we wouldn't confuse this with the Diorita. Remember, we made that strange halacha that if the kli was touched on the outside and it's inside the store. We had that before in Brochas when we were talking about the machlokas in of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Again, when it comes to the Sa'uda, are we worried about the wine on the outside of your kos on Shabbat for Kiddush and so on? That's all based on these gezeros over here. And that way people will never confuse that with a Diorisa, because obviously if something was really mitami, there'd be no difference between the inside, the outside, the handle, whatever. It's all going to be tummy. So when we're talking about this gezerah of kalim that became tummy b'mashkin, what kind of mashkin are we talking about? Are we talking about mashkin of a zov? Let's say it was saliva, urine, or other body fluids from a zov on his hands, right? And obviously if any of that gets onto kalim, of course it'll be mitami, because that's a Diorisa. The ma'ayanot of a zav or diorita. I mean, it says v'chiyaroka zav b'tahar. So that means if any of his spit touches the tar, even his begotten become tummy, his tummy out of Arab. I mean, so, and we even are derish, not that this is important for our sugya, but since it says batar instead of alatar, so we darish from over there, that if the tahar was carrying a towel and the zav spit hits the towel, that the tahor is still going to become tummy because of a new tumah where he's tummy without any contact. Contact is called tumat maga, contact. But because he's a carrier, which is a no say, so because he's carrying this, he is also going to be tummy. So, I mean, that's a diraisa. That can't be part of Yud Ches Tavar. You are right. We've got to be talking about mashkim that became tummy from the sherets, and even though those mashkin can't possibly really be mitami, of course sherets is not only sherets, or it's any kind of mashkin that became tummy from an avatuma. That's just the way the Rambam learns. I'll explain in a moment that it's a machlokas rishonim, and this is a gzera because of mashkin of a zov that might easily get in touch with a kli, and therefore the kli is tame, and that is number 9, because we are not including the tfuyom as number 10. Now, this, what I just said, is the Rambam Shita, and many of the other Rishonim, that the Gemara means exactly what it says over here, when it says, Admashkin aboim achmasheretz, that this gezera is only because you have the mashkin which touched an actual sheretz. Tosfos says that that doesn't matter. This halacha, that mashkin will be metame kalim, is exactly the same even if they're only a rishon midrabana. So in other words, if you have mashkim that touched stam yadayim, this is a general rule that anything which is kol haposel es hatruma is metame es hamashkim lihiyot rishon. And this is part of the dinim of mashkin being alulim lekabel tumah, and it's a very important rule. Mashkin always become a rishon, no matter what touches them, as we saw before. The mashkin will be metame the ochlin, even though you can't be metame ochlin if you're a sheni, but the gezera is that even if it's touched only by something which passes truma, which means that the mashkin were touched, let's say, by something as simple as tumas yadayim, stam yadayim, they will become a rishon latuma. Then, if that, according to Tosfos, if that rishon latuma now will touch a kli, then the kli will become tummy because of the gezera mashkin zov. Notice that this is a third order level, which the Rambam does not hold up. This is a third order level of the Yud Ches Tavar, because A, there's no such thing as tuma of yadayim. So the takon of stam yadayim is, so to speak, imaginary in terms of the Torah. So that's the dirabonin A. Secondly, mashkin can certainly not become tameh from something which only passes truma. We're talking about mashkin of chulin over here. Nonetheless, they do become tameh because yadayim paslin et truma are always going to be metami mashkin to make them rishon. That's the second order. And the third order, according to Tosis, is that if second order Yud Ches Tavar touches the outside of a kli, then that kli will become tameh, and that is a third level from the same Yud Ches Tavar. The Rambam says beferish. There were only 2 degrees that the Yud Ches Tavar covered, not 3 degrees. And if something was mashkin, which themselves were only the result of touching stam yadayim, they will not be metamek kalim. When I say Outside, by the way, I don't mean only outside. I mean outside in which the tumah remains only on the outside. Obviously, it touches the inside. It's even more tameh because even klicheres is metameh from the inside. Asks the Gemara, this business about stam yadayim. You are telling me that this is part of the Yudches Dover, right? The Yudches Dover is a story of a lot of Talmidim, of Shammai, of Hillel, that got together and Hillel was outvoted. And you're telling me that the deal about washing your hands and so on, that is something that was part of the Yudches Dover? That means that it was the Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, was Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel? But that's not true. We know that Shammai and Hillel together made this takana. Nobody needed to outvote Hillel, and nobody needed to wait for generations later where there would be Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel. It says Beferish in a bright of the Tanya. Yossi ben Yoezer ish Tzreda, the Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim. So these were very early Tanoim, and they made takanas of Tuma. They were Gozru Tuma al Eretz Ha'amim v'al Klei Zechuchit. Nowhere in the Torah does it say that glass is Mekabel Tuma. They made a gezerah that glass should be Mekabel Tuma because of its similarity. We're going to see later on to being able to be melted and formed the way metal is, but we'll talk about that later. They were also Gozer Tuma anywhere on Chutz La'aretz because Goyim would bury all over the place. And since a remains of a mace are metame, even if it's a goy, it's metame certainly b'maga. There's a machlokas. Maybe it would even be metame b'ol from the Rabbanan at some, but whatever. There's certainly some tuma. So they were gozer on all of Eretz Amim, that if you go there, you have to view yourself as tame. Shimon ben Shetach, who was way before Shammai v'Hillel, Shimon ben Shetach, he was the one who was mitaken a ktuva. Now, this is not really true because elements of ktuva are diraisa, moa habetulot, and so on. And the Gemara ends up saying over there what it means that he was mitaken a ktuva is that he was mitaken that the contract of the ktuva has to include kol nechasai or arevim for the ktuva. Because what used to happen is that before we had that clause that everything that you own is actually leaned towards the payment of the ktuva, the ktuba consisted of certain special bank account or a special kli or a safe deposit box, which was there in the event of a divorce or a death. And because of that, what happened is when people got angry at their wives, which is inevitable, and decided they'd love to be divorced, it was very easy to get divorced. It didn't have time to get cooled down. Like this, if you got to pay money and get your money together for a ketuvah, you got to worry about your wife taking you through the courts. You don't divorce her so quickly. So the takana that he made was that basically it shouldn't be so easy to get divorced, and he made the ketuvah achroi on all your property. And so he was mitaken, this is Shimon ben Shetach. And he was gozer tuma on metal kalim, which is ridiculous. Obviously, metal kalim, it's the whole psukim in the Torah. And we know already that we've got special takanas of metal kalim that they go back to being tameh after they're melted down and remade. We'll get to that later. But here's the piece that's important to us. It says Shammai v'Hillel were the source of the gezerah of tuma al yadayim. Oh, my God. So how could we say that this is part of the Yudches Dover, which was something that it says the Talmidim of Shammai and the Talmidim of Hillel were the ones that were goes. And now don't try to tell me that Shammai and Hillel were personally present at the Aliyah, and that when it says Beit Shammai means Shammai and his Talmidim, and Hillel and his Talmidim, and then in the end they made this takana, that's why it's a Shammai v'Hillel, because it's not true. Because since Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, and this is the piece of Gemara that, as I mentioned to you, is the key to understanding the entire concept of what this has to do here, according to the Rambam, that there were 18 davar gazru, there were 18 gezeras, there were 18 things that there was a machlokas on. And we'll see later on that there was a machlokas which they agreed upon. And then there were a further 18 things which they remained in a state of machlokas, which is the way the Rambam views this entire parak, that the first Mishnah is up to the words, Ushmona Asre Davar Gazru Bo Bayom, that is all 18 if you count it. And then the 18 are the Gezeras, where Hillel was outnumbered. And the rest of the Mishnayos in the Perek are another 18 things that discuss a machlok asham avil l'gabei dinim of Shabbos, besides the really 13, because there was another brayta the Gemara brings that was not part of Shabbos, where there were five additional machlokas. And that is the entire picture. So in any event, the Shmona Asar Davar means that Hillel v'Shammai could not be the ones that were arguing here, because Hillel and Shammai were only cholek three places. And this, again, is the Rambam's unique understanding of this, because everybody else who thinks that the outweighing or the agreeing is the only thing we have to worry about, there's no kasha over here, as Tosis points out, because maybe when it says they only argued in three places, it means they only remained in a state of argument in three places, you see? You know, Tosis has got to go to all kinds of weird places to try to answer that. According to the Rambam, it's no question at all, because the Hushvu would mean in the end that there was Hushvu. But that's Nogeya their Talmidim. It has nothing to do with Hillel v'Shammai themselves. So Hillel v'Shammai lo nechlu ela b'shlosha mekomot, the Omer of Una, b'shlosha mekomot nechlu v'tulo. There are only three places. So how could we have all 18 places? Now don't tell me. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that the original Gezerah was indeed Stam Yadayim of Shammai v'Hillel together. And then the Talmidim in a later generation said, well, Hillel and Shammai were only gozer that Yadayim have a din of a suffix. And if they touch Truma, you will not burn that Truma, but you won't be allowed to eat the Truma. We will be gozer that Yadayim are considered to be a Vadai, and you should even burn Truma. Oto Tamidayo v'gozer l'srof, but we know that that's not true. Because Ilfa said, even though some of these other gezeras are only for Taliyah, meaning not eating the Truma, Yadayim, as far as the Gezer of Yadayim, from the start, Tchilat Gezeratan Lisreifa. Therefore, what we have to do is say, it's true, Hillel and Shammai actually had made a Gezerah on the Yadayim. However, remember that any Gezerah needs to pass muster. How does it pass muster? If after a year you take a survey and the Gezerah has caught on, then it is a Gezerah. If you take a survey and the Gezerah has not caught on, the Gezerah is automatically batal, because you cannot be gozer things that people do not relate to. So maybe that's what happened. That must be what happened, says the Gemara. Shammai v'Hillel made a Gezerah, and it was viewed as too outrageous to keep. At any time, your Messiah das from your Yadayim are Tmeot, and people did not accept this Gezerah. Generations later, their Talmidim came and they did make that Gezerah. By the way, note that if we're going to say that, we're saying a very amazing thing, right? Because we're saying that the Talmidim of Hillel would not make the Gezerah that Hillel himself made, unless they were outvoted by Beit Shammai, which is quite unbelievable. Because if you're understanding it this way, it means that Hillel and Shammai both had gotten together to make this Gezerah. So much for the belief that you have to bend your das to everything that was done by a previous generation. So just because Hillel thought it was a good idea does not mean that Talmid Hillel thought it was a good idea generations later. And they did not want to make such a gezerah. They needed to be outnumbered. Quite amazing. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. You've only answered those two stages. But there was a much earlier gezerah about washing your hands. And that came from Shlomo HaMelech himself, the Omer of Yidom Reshmuel, B'sha'ah she'tiken Shlomo Eruvin v'netilat yadayim. When Shlomo HaMelech had made the chiyuv of making an Eruv Chatzeras, so that you can't carry into someone else's house from one Rishus HaYochid to another, and he also made the gezer that you have to do netilat yadayim before you touch any food in the Beis HaMikdash. So Abasko came out and said, ah, my son, Shlomo, if you are so smart, im chacham libecha, you've made me very happy too. Yismach libi gamani, chacham bini, v'samach libi, v'yashiva chorfi davar. So you see that he originally had made the gezer on Yadayim, says the Gemara. Well, of course, he did make the gezer on the Yadayim, but he made the gezer on anything in the Beis HaMikdash, which was Karchim. So he said if a Kohen is going to be eating Kadesh, then he has to wash his Yadayim. Fine. In later generations, came along Shammai VeHillel, and then afterwards the Talmidei Shammai VeHillel, and they were geyser that even for Truma, Stam Yadayim are considered to be Tamei, and they will be Mitamei Es HaTruma, Pasel Es HaTruma. So we now know one of the Yud Ches Dover went through a complex and long history, starting from the days of Shlomo HaMelech, and then much later than the Yud Ches Dover, till it came down today to the halacha that we have of washing our hands before eating bread, which was not part of the Yud Ches Dover, which was a much later takana. Okay, gentlemen, so we have managed in all of this to get to 9 out of the 18 Yud Ches Dover of the Gezerah. I think it's quite clear now. All very simple. Richie wanted to give us a quick review of all of the 18 things, which is why he suddenly put himself on. And would you like to just go over the first 9? That's all we need from you, Rich. We don't need all 18. We only need the first 9.
So I have to do them.
You can even look inside.
Rebbe, what time Motzei Shabbos?
It's a very good question. What time Motzei Shabbos? I think we're still good for 8:15. What do you think, guys? 8:15, okay?
Good.
Okay, there's Rebbe, no, can nobody's I, going out to the movies, right?
Rebbe, can I say Kaddish?
Nobody's going out to the bar. There ain't no more bars. Nobody's even going out to the Beis HaMedrash. There ain't no more Beis HaMedrashes.
But we can say Kaddish, Rebbe.
Yes, we can definitely say Kaddish if you're still saying Kaddish.
It's Beis Midrash. It is the Zoom Beis Midrash.
The Zoom-based Midrash, I shut down because people were eating there. And we don't have any video.
Okay, so I will say. Yitgadal vitkadash merabah. Balma divarak rute ve'amlich. Ve'yatzpach mukhanei ve'kare mishiche.
Amen.
Ve'chai echon ve'amlichon 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 ve'israel. Ve'agala ve'zman kariv. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. על ישראל, על הבנן, על תמידיון, על כל תלמידי תמידיון, תעסקים בברית הקדישתה, די באתרה, דן ודי בכל אתר ואתר, יעלנה לכון ולאון, שלמה, חינה, וחיסר, חמיין, קדם, ילה, מלאי שמיה, וערב, אמרו, אמן.
אמן.
היא שלמה רבה, מי שמיה, חיים, בצבא ושואה ונחמה, בצבא ורפואה וגולה, ושיחה וכפרה, ברוך והצלה לנו לכל עמו ישראל, ואמרו אמן.
אמן.
יעשה שלום, יעשה שלום מנעמיו וברחמיו, יעשה שלום עלינו על כל עמו ישראל,
ואמרו אמן.
אמן. All right, so before we break, Richie is a little bit slow on the uptake over here. Just to remember, we went through the first 9, which excluding the Tvuyon, we have 1, Ochel Ochel Rishon is a Sheni. 2, Ochel Ochel Sheni is a Sheni. 3, this is we concern. Why did we make this a separate gezerah? Somebody who drinks mashkim tameim also is metame. When I say metame, mipasol truma. And then we had a barosho verubo b'mayim shuvim on the day that he goes to the mikvah. Then we had 5, anybody who takes a shower, even if it's not on the day that he goes to the mikvah. And then we had any of the sifrei kodesh, any of the chavdal etzvarim that touched Truma. By the way, there was another Gezerah, not part of the Yud-Kes Dvarim, that even Yadayim that touched the Sefer also. And then we had the Gezerah, the most powerful of all of these Gezerahs. 7 is Stam Yadayim. Yadayim Askaniyotin, and everything is going to be basically Betami the Yadayim, just not thinking about them is Betami Yadayim. And then we had the idea that if Ochlin can become Tomei from Mashkim, even though these mashkim are really only touch Stam Yadayim. It's a second order. And then we had, according to Tosus, a third order, which was 9, that kalim that were touched by exactly these mashkim that became Tomei from Yadayim would also become Tomei. or according to the Rambam, number 9 is only that Ochlin that actually were Tomei from an Avatuma, which are themselves Rishon, they can be Metame Kalim, where normally Kalim cannot be Mekabel Tuma from a Rishon, but only from an Av. That gives us our first 9, which in the Mishnah of Zavim, together with the din of a Tvuyom, who is able to pass Truma, gives us 10 cases of things or people that are Metame Pasol Truma. All right, Rebbe, gentlemen, it's been
Rebbe, can I, can,
yes, Moshe.
A question on Rebbe's shir on the Kiyur. If what we're talking about now, Rebbe defined that this is all has to do with the level of consciousness in terms of maintaining consciousness, is that what Rebbe talked about in terms of the Kiyur regarding why they were made from the women's, from the mirrors, because of the level of consciousness they take? And that's what the...
I don't think this is a Daf Yomi question.
No, that was Shlomo Melech's Gezerah was directly from that.
Okay,
that was my question.
Okay, beautiful, but I don't think it's for the Daf, but yeah, it's very nice. Okay, everybody, I just want to leave you with some very important thoughts. Now, the world is, today's headline is that the world is Beseder. Basically, everybody's locked in. There's only one place where the Torah describes the chiyuv of seger, and that's for tzaras. And the reason that there's a seger, says the Chazal, as Rashi says, that this misaper lashon hara was trying to create distance between people in ways that would not allow them to be connected with each other. Therefore, the Torah said, let him stay at home. So that, first of all, is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor for the situation, because an entire society lives off of lashon hara and wants actually to throw people, other people that they talk about, into seger. So let them all sit beseger. The other din of the tzaras, of course, is that v'tamei tamei yikra. Well, let me tell you something. The moment you got it, baby, you got to report it. Okay, so that's tamei tamei.
You're misatef metaliso. You pull it over your face.
Excellent. Priya, Prima, very, very good. Okay. And there's also another very powerful thought, I think, to be taken into consideration. Remember that when the Navi came to Yisrael and had the chutzpah to tell them, somebody would shut down that damn Beis HaMikdash and close the doors, and whoever asked you for any of this, and who told you to be remos chatzeroi, everybody's ready to kill. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu has closed down all of the shuls. Oh, our wonderful shuls. Close down all your wonderful shuls. Close down all your wonderful yeshivas that you're so proud of. And look, this is what we do. This is our life. This is our Avedas Hashem. And said, mi bikezot mi etchem remos chatzeroi. I think with that, that certainly leaves a lot to be thought about in both of these areas. Learning, davening, and, Jews, real Jews are supposed to have a profound sense of the so-called humor in these situations. And the Mida Kenegan Mida is always very humorous, which is the element of din. So there's a lot to appreciate and a lot obviously to think about. Anyway, put that in your pipes, think about it over Shabbos, and hopefully we'll get together, Bezrat Hashem, with a great amount of tachanunim that we should survive, and see you on the Tzai Shabbos to be able to learn together again.